get some energy this morning. I saw some folks eating some Reese cups. So you got to high five somebody around there. And if you're diabetic, I'm sorry if you went into a coma with all the candy we have. High five somebody around and say, Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Thank you if you're joining us online. High five somebody in the coffee shop at the house. High five your pet, or if you got a bunny rabbit, or the Easter bunny came to see you, boom. I might have just ripped my jacket. I ate too much candy. I ain't gonna see that. May or may not have. How many folks were worried about that today? You were worried about fitting in the Easter dress, and after Easter breakfast and brunch and lunch and throughout this week, you're thinking, I'm gonna be summer body ready. Yeah, this is my body all year long. I'm working on it. I don't know about y'all, but I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that you're here today. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and be getting to John 11. John 11. And today is going to be really, really fun. Number one, it's Easter. I mean, come on. We high five people. We've laughed today. We've had candy at church. Come on. That's good times. So today, if you got your Bible, you're going to get to John 11. If you would like a Bible, we have free ones for the asking. That is our gift to you. We would love to give that to you. Maybe you're watching online. You can go to Bible.com, or you've got an app you can thumb to. But if you'll get to John 11, what we've been doing over these past few weeks is walking through the I am statements of Jesus. In the Gospel of John, there are 7 I am statements, and somehow we've decided to do it in 4 weeks. Just blame the pastor. We're doing it in 4 weeks, and today is probably one of the most powerful ones that Jesus has, and it's the one that I'm most excited to share. Believe it or not, we started off with I am the vine, and you were like, that dude is excited to share that. Just wait until today. Today's going to be even more fun. So if you're getting your Bible, if you'll get to John 11, guess what? I'm going to join you. I'm going to join you there. And while you're there, something's going to pop up on the screen. And I just want to ask you this. How many of us today feel like we're like this sign? Feel like we're at a dead end? Somewhere in our life, we're at a dead end. How many of us have ever felt like that? Maybe you've walked through the dead end. Maybe you're stuck in one today. Maybe this sign, it's spelled right too. Maybe this sign makes you think of zombies, I don't know, or think of things that are coming, right? Like you see a dead end, and like maybe in the future you see people walking around and they're zombies. But today that's exactly what I want to talk about, is this dead end. You see, we've been talking about what would Jesus undo. And if you get nothing else from today, if you're taking notes and you write one sentence down, it's this. What would Jesus undo? The dead ends in your life. The whole reason he's here today is to undo this in our life. We weren't made to bear this sign. We are not dead ends. We have purpose. We were made on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. And today I want you to know that Jesus does not want the dead end in your life. But yet, so many times we struggle with that. As your pastor, as a Christian, I struggle with that. I look at the dead ends in my life and I'm like, oh my goodness, like, why in the world do I have these dead ends? Because Jesus said that he came so that I may have life and have it to the full, but I'm walking through dead ends. And I did everything right, God. Like I put the right address in my GPS. Like, I knew where I was going. And all of a sudden, it says, house available on the right. And 200 feet, and the road ends, right? Like, how many of us have a plan? We follow it to a T, and we still end up at the dead end, right? So today, that's what we're going to unpack. What would Jesus undo? The dead ends in your life. So today, as we're walking through this, we're going to have this perspective. We're going to go through John 11. Lots of scripture today, but it's something that I believe that you're going to see some dead ends be set free today. John chapter 11, verse 1 through 11. It's going to pop on the screen here. If you've got your Bible, I highly encourage you to look in there. If not, I just want to give you freedom today. Write in your Bible. It's not going to hurt anything. I write in mine, and it doesn't lead to a dead end. It always brings life. So if you need to highlight something, circle something that pops out to you, whatever that is for you, I just want you to have the freedom to do that today. So John chapter 11, verse 1 says this. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. So time out. Growing up in church, I have to stop here because I thought about this, and I almost did it today, so y'all just be excited that I did it. But how many folks grew up, like, there's two things that you grow up with in church. An Easter cantata, And a passion play, a Christmas cantata and Easter cantata, but a passion play is usually at Easter, right? And this is always in there. And like, we're going to go through this story, and I just want you to get the image out of your mind, so we're just going to go ahead and laugh. Like, you always have Jesus come and say, Lazarus, come forth. And somehow when you're dead and you rise again, you always walk like a zombie. Like, I don't know if you remember that, so I just want to get that out of your head today. So share that laugh. Just remember, like, today we're not doing that. There's not going to be anybody come from behind me. Like, Lazarus isn't going to come forth from behind the screen, like, looking like a zombie. So if you thought you weren't going to laugh in church today, I'm sorry. You were in for a shock, because you're going to laugh a lot. But it just made me think of this. Like, as I was getting ready for this, I was like, I'm going to talk to people about dead ends. And all I can see is Lazarus. And like, that was like, and I don't know about you, but that was like the backup Jesus in the Passion Play. Like, if Jesus was sick that week, like, Lazarus was ready to go, because he only had one part, like, to lay in the tomb, right? And like, he came out like a zombie. Anyway, if you grow up in church, you know what I'm talking about. Let's keep on with the story before I get down a rabbit trail and we're 4 hours in. So now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, we've talked about this before, but if you don't know, this Mary, whose brother was Lazarus, now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with their hair. So we're going to have perfume come from the back if anybody wants to just donate their hair right quick to... I'm just kidding. I told y'all we're going to laugh today. We're going to laugh today. You got to have a good time. So she's the same one that anointed Jesus at Bethany, just so that John's laying the groundwork here so that we know who she is. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. I don't know if you got a Bible. I don't know if you take notes, but circle that, highlight that. Do whatever you got to do to remember that. It says, now this sickness will not end in death. Not end in death. Now it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Like, if Jesus had a family he went to, like, this was his second family. Like, how many folks went away to college? Like, if you went out of town to college, you probably had, like, a family that you connected with there, so that you had community. Maybe it was through your friends, through your dorm roommate, or maybe through church. You had somewhere you went, but you kind of had a second family. So this is like Jesus's second family. Like, he had a plate at the dinner table. Like, he had a seat. He knew where to find the forks, knives, and the cups. Like, he knew where everything was. He knew where the bathroom was. He knew where to find the extra soap or a towel. Like, he knew everything about it. So this family was like his peeps. Pastor joke, you're welcome. It's Easter. So these were his peeps. He knew who they were, so he hung out with them. So remember that. He loved them. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there 2 more days. What a friend we have in Jesus. Right, stayed 2 days. Mm-mm. He stayed 2 days. He didn't come back to his friend. It's really cool. Then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea, away from where he was. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you. Yet you are going back? Think about that if you're a disciple. Hey, remember those people that tried to kill you? Yeah, we're going back there instead of going to see Lazarus. Like, he's got good mac and cheese. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got nanner pudding. Y'all know I'm going to work it in there. He's got it. Like, he knows what's happening. And we're going to go the other way? What's going on here? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. What did we say Jesus was last time, last week? He's the light. Remember what he's talking about. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. So I'm looking here and I'm thinking, before we go on to some more scripture here, we're going to skip to verse 17 in just a second. Like, the disciples don't know what's going on. They're away from Lazarus right now. All they know is that he's sick. And Jesus is saying, hey, he's just taking a nap. He's just asleep. He done ate too much. He's just chilling in the grave. Like, he ain't got nothing going on. He's just sick. He's just sick. We're going to unpack that in a minute. Verse 17 goes on to say this. On his arrival, Jesus found out that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. 4 days. So him and his disciple come back. And Lazarus has been up in this tomb for 4 days. 4 days. Whew, don't you know that was awesome? And the greeting party that he had when he came there, I'm sure loved that Jesus stepped away and then came back 4 days later. Like, 4 days later? Like, if you call your best friend in the middle of the night, like your ride or die, like the one you know, like if you're in there, like at 2 a.m. in the morning, they gonna get you bail money, like that friend, you know? Like that friend that says, hey, like I'm in trouble, like I need to go hide what I've done, like you need to get me out of the country, and all of a sudden they wait 4 days to show up. Like, how do you feel? How do you feel about that? Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Now, before we talk about this first dead end, I want to paint the picture of what happens here. So, Mary and Martha is Jesus's, like, this is almost like his sisters, like, in a way. Like, you know, it's his family. Like, they call each other family. And at this time, if you really looked at it, there's stories, like in the Gospel of Luke, this story is told where Mary and Martha is there, and Martha's running around trying to get everything ready, and Mary is just laying at Jesus' feet. So, like, how many folks have a sibling who's a rule follower? Like, you know a rule follower. Like, they are to the T a rule follower. If we don't break the rules, we're not getting in trouble. We have to follow the rules. And then how many of us have the ones that are just like, eh, who cares? It is what it is, right? Like, all of us have those siblings. So in this story, Martha is the one who follows the rules. Like, she is the one, like, I've got to get all the plates ready. If you see me sometimes before greenhouse gathering here, like, I got to get everything ready. I got to get everything set up. It's got to be just right. It's like, T's are crossed, I's are dotted. It's going to be perfect. This is how it's going to be. And Mary's just like, eh, it'll work out. Yeah, it'll be good. Like, that's Mary. So what's crazy about this story is this. In Jewish tradition, if you've heard this growing up, we're going to talk about Lazarus and what that looks like. But in Jewish tradition, the women in the household actually had to mourn for 30 days those that they lost. They weren't allowed to leave the house. They weren't allowed to leave the house. What blows my mind here is the rule follower heard that Jesus was coming. She left the house. It's a role reversal. Like, all of a sudden, this person who follows all the rules that says, hey, if we just do the right thing, Jesus is going to come through. Hey, if we just cross all the T's, dot all the I's, like, he's going to come through. Like, we just got to follow the rules. And then the first instance that she hears of Jesus coming, she darts out, she runs away, and goes to find Jesus. And Mary's the one following the rules. What is that about? It's crazy, isn't it? It's a crazy thing. So the reason I'm bringing all this up is this. We're going to unpack this dead end that Jesus is bringing. But it's just funny to me. Sometimes whenever Jesus comes into our lives or we have an opportunity to encounter Jesus, we're going to see something completely opposite happen in our life. What was death will become life. The thing that we thought we had together is the thing that we let go. The thing that we let go of, instead of holding on to, we go and lay it at the feet of Jesus. We go running to him every opportunity we get. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the rules say. It doesn't matter what religion says. It doesn't matter what the church person says. It doesn't matter the one that says, you can't be this way, you can't dress this way, you can't look this way. It doesn't matter what they say. When Jesus is there and you have an opportunity to encounter him, you'll run. You'll run to him. And here's what I want to tell you, the reason that matters. The first dead end that Jesus wants to do in your life, undo in your life, is the dead end of your past. The dead ends of your past, or our past. The dead ends of our past. You see, today, if I'm completely honest, and I put myself in this story, and I look at the dead ends of my past, I think and I ask myself this question. If God is good, why would that happen to me? Does anybody feel that way? You look at your past, maybe you've been through abuse, and I can't even imagine. Maybe you've been through neglect. Maybe you've had people in your life turn on you. Your best friends have left you. Maybe you've had those things in your life. And the question you ask of your past is, if God is good, then why would that happen to me? I imagine Mary and Martha's there right now. If God is good and he loved my brother, why is he dead? Why did he wait? Like, why did all of a sudden, when he could have came and fixed it, he waited? And so many of us in our life, that's where we sit. Maybe the dead ends of our past have got us stuck. Maybe our dead ends of our past have Jesus that is out there available to you, a place where you can run to, a place to have safety, comfort, peace, and joy. And instead of running to Him, we let the dead ends of our past stop us right in our tracks. We stand there and we feel like we can't move. Maybe it's we don't believe Jesus can love us. If He knew exactly what I did, if He knew what I did on Saturday night, if He knew what I said driving that trailer, if He knew what I said loading in, if He knew who I almost hit, if He knew what I almost did, if He knew how I thought about that person, if He knew what I said about that person, if He knew what that person said about me in my past, if He knew how they hurt me, if He knew how I hurt them, if He knew how I left them, there's no way that He could love me. And I'm telling you, Jesus came to undo that dead end in your life. When I look at Mary and Martha, that's exactly where they are. Their brother is sitting there, dead, dead. And they run out to meet Him. She's not running out to meet Him to celebrate Him being there. Let's be real. If somebody said, I want to write you $1 million check, and you $1 million in debt, and you say, I got to have it today, because if I don't have it today, they're going to come get me. You know what I'm saying? Hello, witness protection. Like, they're going to come get me, right? Like, they're going to come find me. And you know this person has it. And they say, oh, yeah, I'll write you a check. And they wait 4 days. How would you feel? You'd be, find my baseball bat. Somebody's come getting my money, right? Like, help me out, right? Like, wouldn't we all feel that way? That's where Mary and Martha is. She's coming out to meet Jesus. And she's saying, hey, where were you? How many of us ask God that? Hey, as a Christian, I ask God that. I'm going to lay my cards on the table. Sometimes the dead ends of my past hold me back. The dead ends of my past relationship, the dead ends of my past decisions, the dead ends in my life can hold me back from encountering Jesus like never before. Sometimes that's following the rules. Sometimes I say, Jesus, I did all the right things. Hey, I got the grades. I got accepted to the school, so I should go to the school. I should graduate from there, and I should love money, lots and lots of money, whatever that song is. You remember that? Anyway, like, I should have all of that. Like, I followed all the rules. Why in the world am I struggling? That's why Martha ran to Jesus. I follow all the rules. Why am I struggling? So today, if you're asking that question, I want you to know that Jesus came to undo that dead end in your life. Maybe there is something you've gone through. Maybe there is something you struggled with. Like I said, I can't imagine if you've ever been through abuse or manipulation. I can say I probably identify, but I can't tell you what you think. The things and the thoughts in your head that hold you back, the things you think about yourself, the problems you have trusting others. I'm telling you, it's not a life that Jesus wants you to live. And sometimes you just got to talk through it with somebody. And the first one you got to talk through it with is Jesus. And let Him know that the dead ends of your past, you're laying at His feet. Because He came to undo it. Let's continue on the story. Continue on the story today. Verse 21. This is where Martha gets a little feisty. A little rule follower. She got a little fire to her. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Now, I love that. Here's the thing. I love punctuation in the Bible, but I'm pretty sure there's supposed to be an exclamation point here. Like, I'm pretty sure the head was going. Like, I mean, something was happening. Like, I know. Like, you know that person? Like, she was just dropping it in there. Like, the head was going like this. Like, I know where that Easter egg is that has that handwritten note in it. I know where you done hit it, right? Like, we just talked about a few minutes. I know God will give you whatever you ask. God will give you whatever you ask. The second dead end that Jesus wants to undo as we unpack it is the dead end of your present. The dead ends of our present. Maybe today it's not your past that you're struggling with. It's your present situation. See, here's the thing. Religion will always give you some rules. This is what I love to talk about, bumper sticker theology. How many folks have those bumper stickers on their car? And they've got the verses, and they've got the Facebook post. And hey, I get them. I get it. And there's nothing wrong with it if it's used the right way, but if you're saying it and you don't have faith behind it, it doesn't matter. That's exactly what Martha's saying here. She's saying the right thing. Have you ever been around that person that gives all the platitudes in the world? Like, they know exactly what to say at just the right time, but you see it in their eyes, they don't believe it. You see it in their actions, they don't believe it. That's what Martha is doing to Jesus right here. She's just saying, hey, I know, if you ask God, it would have happened. Like, I assumed you asked him, right? Like, didn't you ask God that my brother could be raised from the dead? Like, I assumed you asked him, right? I don't believe you ask him. I don't believe that. And so sometimes in our life, the dead end of our present could be our religious state. Could be that we follow all the rules and we think that if A plus B equals C, then obviously B plus C should equal A, right? Or whatever it looks like in our life, right? You're welcome, math folks. You're welcome. Somebody's going to get that later. If that's you in your life, you think if they equal each other, if things equal out, then all of a sudden in our life, the dead ends of our present, Jesus should have come through for. So how many times do we have that mirror, that quote on the mirror that we have to say? This is the name it and claim it movement in our life. Like, if you just name it, it'll come your way. If you just say you're a millionaire every day, you're going to be a millionaire. That's the self-help section. And let me ask you this. If the self-help books work, why in the world does a section grow inside the bookstore each and every year? Wouldn't one book be enough? Well, guess what? There is the number one book that's sold of all time, like in all the history of the world. And I guarantee you, it'll help a lot more of yourself than you ever could imagine if you just get a hold of it. I'll give you the name of it a little bit later. Maybe you can check that out. I don't have any tables in the lobby with it or anything, but I tell you what, I'll give it to you free today if you just ask for it. That one book. But so many times we think that we have to have these platitudes and these self-helps. Like, if that person cut me off, man, they just must be having a worse day than me. That ain't how I feel. I don't believe that. I'm trying to get somewhere. Like, get out of my way, right? Like, we can get there. That's how I feel sometimes, and that's how Martha feels when she's coming to Jesus. She's saying, Jesus, I know the right answer is you could have fixed it, but you didn't. You didn't. Like, my past is you made me go through all that crap, and you could have fixed it? Why didn't you fix it? Why didn't you make it right? Like, you of all people could have fixed it. And so many of us today, maybe we're in church here, or maybe we're watching online, and we think, hey, I'm here just in case. I'm presently at a dead end because I'm here just in case. Because if there are two times that God takes attendance, it's Christmas and Easter, right? Like, just in case. Like, I've heard of God, and in the Bible Belt, everybody's a Christian, right? Like, down here, everybody's a Christian, especially today. And everybody's got the quote, and come tomorrow when it all comes crashing down, all of a sudden, who cares about what we said, right? Who cares? Because our belief and our faith isn't there. So today, our present situation that's leading us to a dead end is just in case. I'm going to say the right thing, just in case. If I pray hard enough, God will hear me. If I say the right word in my prayer, God will bend my way and do what I want him to do. Anybody else been there? Anybody else struggle with that? See, I'm willing to bet more of us struggle with that than we could ever believe. Like, I look at Mary and Martha, and I want to tell you this. Like, if you've ever been around death, it's terrible. It's zero dignity. It says Lazarus was sick. Jesus was there. In this time frame, Lazarus' sickness was probably sudden. It came on all of a sudden. It wasn't something that was progressive, like he had this long time to prepare. The doctor told him he's got 60 days, and he's lived 6 months, and so he's just outlived what the doctor said in the diagnosis. No. It came on suddenly. And in this time, he probably had a violent, painful, hurtful death. And Mary and Martha stood by his side every minute throughout the process. And I wonder how many times they cried out to God. I wonder how many times they cried out to Jesus. I wonder how much she held in her heart when she's standing in front of Jesus right there and saying the right thing, but not believing the right thing. And that Jesus was going to use it to glorify the Son. It says, literally, like, here's the thing. They don't know how the story's going to play out. The beautiful thing is we've got the rest of John. We know how the story's going to play out. But in this moment, she's saying, yeah, if you would have asked God, he'll do anything. He'll do anything. I was crying beside my brother's bedside. You weren't there. I saw your best friend die. You weren't there. And many of us right now, that dead end in our life is the diagnosis we got from the doctor. It's the singleness that we live in right now because we're not married. And we think that this is a dead end. We don't see the purpose. It's the marriage that's falling apart. And we can't figure it out. We say, God, I've prayed the prayers. I've cried the tears. I've walked with it. Maybe it's the job. You're trying to figure out the job. Maybe it's seriously just the spirituality of it. I show up on Christmas and Easter, God. Like, I do the right things. When you take attendance, I'm there. Like, I'm there when you take attendance. Hey, I go to Bible studies. I share Facebook posts every morning of the daily devotional. Don't believe a word of it, but I share it. Right after I do it, I go cut somebody off and tell them they're number one, right? Like, I drop four-letter words, like, left and right on them. But I share that, God. I'm doing the right things. Like, if somebody looked at this image I've created for myself, I've got it all together. When the doctor dropped the diagnosis, I said, well, God is good. But I didn't believe it. A lot of us right now are stuck in that dead end. And what I want you to know is Jesus has come so that your dead end of your present is gone. This dead end in your life needs to be away. And what Mary and Martha can say right here is they probably don't believe it. And if I'm honest, in that moment, I probably wouldn't either. Especially if I saw my brother die. And I begged to God to heal him. It'd be really hard to believe he's a good God, right? Because I don't know how the story unfolds. And that's exactly where they are. And so today, I want you to know, no matter what, Jesus has come to end the dead end of your present. Let's continue on. How does this story play out? Well, I kind of gave it away at the beginning, and I promise no one's going to walk through here with toilet tissue wrapped around them, dressed like a zombie, like it's Halloween. Like, why is that not played at Halloween, y'all? You got to laugh sometimes. Like, why in the world is he trick-or-treating when it happens? Anyway, I'm just kidding. I'll talk with you one day about it, Lazarus. I'm just kidding. All right, let's continue on the story. Good, I got some laughs. We're good. We're in it. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. How about this platitude here? Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. This is the I am statement that matters. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Hang on. So the rule follower says, hey, once I take my last breath, I'm done. It's flatline. Like, it's done. It's there. Once the machine's unplugged, I'm done. So you mean when I die, I have life? That's why Jesus is telling the rule follower this. This is what I love. It's because it shouldn't make sense. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Favorite question he asked her. Hey, do you believe this? She says, yes, Lord. She replied, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Now, Jesus has some dialogue, and Mary gets up, and she hears Jesus is here, and so the rule breaker finally decides to break the rules. And so we're going to continue on and we're going to pick back up on verse 38 as we're scooching down here. Verse 38, and it says this, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said the rule follower, the sister of the dead man, I love how John puts that. By this time, there's a stank. You ever had a stank like Febreze can't get this stink out? I don't know what it is, but there's an odor. Like, it's going to be God-awful. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not one of them, like, family's coming and you, like, you go all over the place and get things going. You get your spray out, like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you got all those things. You got that, and you're trying to hide it. Potpourri or a name brand's better. I'm not going to give a plug for that. But she's saying there's a bad odor. For he has been there 4 days. Now, this is, if you've grown up in church or you've ever heard an Easter message, you've heard about this story. If you ever saw that passion play, if you weren't so overtaken by Lazarus being wrapped in toilet paper, looking like a mummy coming out. is you know that the Jewish tradition was 3 days the Spirit hovered over. And Jesus wanted to make sure that all the tradition was thrown out the window. There was no question whether Lazarus was truly dead. Like, everybody believed it so much so, like, he was there 4 days. And he opened that thing and Febreze that house, and all people had all the praise, right? I love that. Sorry. I'm laughing too hard at myself. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? If you believe, you will see the glory of God." So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me." Time out. What did Martha say about Jesus? That God will do anything that he asks? And now what is Jesus saying he did right here? "Father, I knew that you always hear me. And I thank you that you have heard me." So wait. So just because I don't hear Jesus is working on my behalf, does it mean that he's working on my behalf? Because Martha and Mary had no clue what Jesus was doing. Martha and Mary had no clue what was going on. All they saw was the dead end of their past, their dead end brother in the grave. They saw the dead end of their present, the dead end that I'm never going to see my loved one again. The next time that I get to see him is at the resurrection of the last day. We've said our goodbyes. He stinks right now. He was stinky alive. We just had to talk to him about taking some baths every now and again. But we can't help him now that he's dead. Like, he's gone, the dead end of a breath. But wait. I told Jesus if God hears you, he'll do something. And so I think about where she is in this moment. Like, whoa, Jesus has been working on my behalf? And Jesus said, "I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me." When he said this in a loud voice, not in the King James Version, "Lazarus, come out." Instead, we're used to hearing "come forth," right? "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. The last dead end that Jesus came to end in our life is the dead ends of our future. The dead ends of our future. You see, Martha's hope was in her future. She hoped to see her brother again at the last resurrection when Jesus comes again. She believed that. She believed her brother was dead. He was a goner. She'd never see him again. And some of us are sitting here today, and the dead end in our life is our future. You know, these are the people in your life that say, hey, and I promise you, maybe you say this about yourself. If I'm so close to getting it together. Like, if this one more piece comes together, like, I've got it all together. I don't need anything else in my life. Like, if this one more deal happens, I do real estate, so I say that sometimes. Like, hey, if this one more deal happens, it's all going to come together. If this one person comes in my life is going to be complete. If I just have a child, my life is going to be complete. Hey, I'm single. If I just get married, my life's going to be perfect. If I'm married and I'm trying to have kids, if I just have kids, it's going to be perfect. Hey, if I just get out of debt, it's going to be right. Hey, if I just have this car, it's going to work out. If I live in this house, it's going to work out. If I live in this neighborhood, it's going to work out. But I'm one step away from doing it, and I don't need anybody's help. I can do it, because if I name it, I claim it, and I stand up and say, if I'm a millionaire, I can make it happen. I've got it together. I'm one step away. So this Jesus thing, I only need it on Christmas and Easter, because I'm one step away from figuring it out. And let me tell you about your life. You've been saying the same thing for about 5 to 7 years, and you're stuck in the same cycle, and it will not end. And you're one step away, because what happens is one thing happens, and it all crashes down. Your brother dies, and your faith is shaken. Your best friend leaves you. You get the diagnosis from your doctor. The person you were supposed to marry leaves you. The child you were supposed to have is not there. And you say, where's Jesus? This is the dead end. Well, my future, my hope and my future will be, it's going to get better in the future. It's going to get better. Listen, Jesus is standing here right now saying it can get better right now. Don't put your hope in the dead end of your future, because I came so that you can experience the hope of your future right now. Because that's exactly where Mary and Martha were. They're standing there. Their hope is that they see their brother again. And Jesus invades their life and their present situation with their future hope, and their brother comes out, the dead thing in their life, the dead thing in their life now has life. The thing that was assuredly dead. Hey, the tax man that was going to come to foreclose, he just got thrown away. Hey, the cancer is gone. Hey, all of a sudden, the job that I didn't have is fulfilled. All of a sudden, the child that I couldn't have, I had. Right? All of a sudden, all those things started working, these dead things in our life. And here's what I want to tell you. Jesus came to put an end to the dead ends in your life. So I'm standing here, and I'll be honest with you. Maybe you're questioning this, saying, now, I grew up with Easter, and you're talking about Lazarus. I thought today was about Jesus. Well, the reason that I bring this up today is, how do we know that this just isn't a one-of? Because see, today there is a celebration. Today we celebrate the cross. Today we celebrate the empty tomb. We stand up and we celebrate an event, but today's not about an event. It's about a man, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he says, I am the resurrection and life. He doesn't leave any room for doubt. He doesn't say, yes, we celebrate an empty tomb, but we don't have an empty tomb just so that he could say that he got out. We have an empty tomb so that our faith can see he is who he says he is, to believe he is who he says he is. And the thing that we have in our life is the dead ends of our life will prevent us from believing that. Because we see a tomb, we see death. We think it's over. And so today we'll celebrate this event, and we think it's like this huge event, but it's not. It's the man that is Jesus who stood in for us, who died himself for us, who lived a life that we couldn't live, died the death we deserve, and now invades our present with our future hope. We don't have to wait till we're dead to experience heaven on earth. We get to experience it now. And yet so many times in our life, we think this, it's just a one of. There's just one resurrection in the Bible. Hey, there's multiple, by the way. And every one of them involved Jesus. Even in the Old Testament when you walk there. I hope you know that. It involves the cross and Jesus. It always points to that. So in our life, John 20 talks about this resurrection. And it might be where we stand right now. And John chapter 20, verse 24 through 29 is where we're going to wrap up today. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Listen to Thomas's dead end. But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my finger where the nails were, and I put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Mary and Martha were standing there. Jesus stood outside of their brother's empty tomb and said, "Hey, do you believe this? Do you believe he will rise again? Do you believe that I am who I say I am as the resurrection and the life?" And even one of the 11 that walked with Jesus day in and day out, hey, the one that came to church every week, questioned who Jesus is. He says, "I won't believe it unless I see it with my own eyes. Unless I see it with my own eyes." If I'm honest, some of us are probably saying that right now. I'll believe Jesus is real when he comes through in this area of my life, when he breaks free this dead end in my life. And only then will I believe. And I want to tell you, shed that today. Today, shed that. He's come to set you free from all of it. You just got to believe. You just got to believe. And how does it go on to say that Thomas did? Verse 26, a whole week later. So Jesus didn't come right away? No. One whole week later, his disciples were in the house again. And Thomas was with them. So I told you, we're going to laugh here for a minute. I just imagine Thomas is with them. They're enjoying a game or just enjoying a good meal. And all of a sudden, the doors were locked. They don't think anybody's coming. All of a sudden, Jesus just shows up. He just shows up. Like, "How's it going, man? How are you doing? Hey, man, I'm here to talk to you, Thomas." He stood among them. And what I love is he says, "Peace. Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Hey, I know where you're questioning right now. Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Here's what I want to tell you today. Without Jesus, everything in your life is a dead end. It's not going to work out. Everything you try, every self-help program, you can get up early, you can pray the right prayers, you can get up early, you can work out, you can lose all the weight, you can get all the money in the world. It's still not going to stop. It's going to lead to a dead end. Because the only thing in this world that is the resurrection and the life is Jesus. And where we get stuck is we think the dead ends in our life will always bring us to life. And it can't. It will always bring us to death. And so as we're going and we have these dead ends in our life, my question to you is this. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? It's not just Easter that we get to say we know Jesus is who he says he is. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be able to say Jesus is who he says he is. When I leave here today, I know Jesus is who he says he is. No matter what happens, no matter what I face, I know Jesus is who he says he is. The thing is, do you believe who he is, who he says he is? And if you don't, here's your opportunity. Today is your day. Don't live in the dead ends of your life anymore. That road that you promise is to success, that three-step program, that 12-step program that's got it all together, that's going to teach you how to have financial freedom, right? It's going to lead you to dead end without Christ. And so today, here's your opportunity. Today is about to be your chance for that. And here's the reason why that matters. And the reason Jesus came to undo the dead ends in your life is because everything without him leads to a dead end. We are all doomed to the same fate Lazarus had. Each and every one of us. None of us are exempt from that. Not one of us. Like, how many of us here would say that they are exempt from death from the moment they were born? None of us are. And the reason of that is because all of us are born in darkness. All of us are born into sin. It's not a question. It's the truth. We're all born into sin. And because of that sin, we are separated from the very one who created us, the very one who breathed life into us, the very one who made the foundations of the earth. We are separated from. We are separated from the thing that can bring us life, the thing that can bring us healing, the thing that will bring us peace and joy. We are separated from. And he loved us enough that he wasn't fine with that separation. The reason we have the cross is because he wanted to make a way for us to have a relationship with him so that we could experience the hope of our future now, so that we could get over the pain of our past in the present, and we could move forward. And the thing is, without Jesus, we can't do it. It's just a dead end. And so he sends Jesus down. Jesus, who crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's, had all the right answers, still had to come down here, live the life we couldn't live. But instead of just saying, you know what, it can be done, I did it. No. He lays his life down for all of us so that we don't have to experience death. We get to experience life. What's crazy with all of this is, see, what I love through all of this is the last time death had to be experienced by any of us, and I'm going to stay out here and I want you to click with me here and hear what I'm saying and believe what I'm saying. The last time death's sting was ever felt was on that cross and going into that tomb. After that, every one of us have the opportunity to experience life. No more will death's sting hold us back. No more will the sin and the pain of our past hold us from being in the joy and the presence of God in our presence. The joy, the peace of our future. The joy in saying, hey, I'm single. I don't have it figured out. I may not ever get married, but that's not up to me. Hey, I can't pay my bills. I don't know how to figure it out. But God's called me into this, so I'm going to continue to step into it. Hey, this cancer, it's got a hold of me. I don't know what to do with it, but I know who holds the key to it, and that is Jesus Christ. And so each and every one of us have to see that Jesus is the only way to have life. And so as we wrap this up, I want to tell you how that works. We're about to say a prayer in just a moment. And it's not a platitude. Everybody here is going to pray it because nobody prays alone in this house. It's not a platitude. It's not something that we just say to feel good. It's with faith, that Jesus is who he says he is, that we believe. See, because we are all sinners, we are doomed to the same death that Lazarus had. All of us. But see, here's the thing. Jesus came to set us free from that. And we just have to believe he is who he says he is. And when we do that, we get to experience life and life eternal. I can't promise you it's all going to be good tomorrow. I can't promise you that, hey, that diagnosis isn't still going to sit there. Hey, Thomas didn't believe, and he still had to wait a week for Jesus to show up. Your week may be years. Your month may be years. But if you believe Jesus is who he says he is, I promise you he's going to show up. And I promise you he's going to come through. I don't know how all the way, but I promise you there'll be life. All you have to do is believe. See, Thomas had the benefit of walking with Jesus every day, and he still questioned who he was. Don't be in this house today and walk with Jesus and question he is who he says he is. Lay it down. Nail it down. Trust him. Can you say today that you believe? And so as we get ready to wrap up with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just seriously want to ask you that question. When you look back over your life, is it full of dead ends? Can you see that everything in your life has been all in your strength, all in your power? Because here's the thing, Lazarus was dead. There was nothing he could do to make himself rise again. He had to have the power of something greater. And that power in your life is Jesus Christ. And so as we close out, I'm going to ask everyone to repeat after me this prayer for the benefit of those who are coming to Jesus for the first time. It's not the words of this prayer that saves. It's faith. It's faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So everyone repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you, headed towards a dead end. I believe you died for me. I believe you lived a life I couldn't live so that I may have eternal hope and joy in you. I believe you rose again. Come take over my life. Teach me how to follow you. Step by step, the best way I know how. Jesus, I'm tired of my dead ends. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, for the first time with faith, you can say that you're no longer headed toward the dead end. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. There's no one looking but me. You're going to see me. That's it. So I'm going to count to three. This is your moment. Do not let your dead end go on any longer. This is your chance. All you have to do is believe. If that is you, I'm going to count to three and raise your hand. One, two, three. If you have believed for the first time that Jesus is who he says he is, raise your hand. And I would be crazy to say today, as we're about to step into worship, that even as a follower of Jesus, you may be experiencing some dead ends in your life that you need to lay down. Some dead ends in your marriage, maybe some dead ends in your relationships, your family, your finances. And you just need to talk to somebody about that today. And if that's you, I want to give you the opportunity. During this song, there are going to be people standing at the back of the room. I want to pray with you and walk with you through that. If you're watching online, I want to let you know that there are people who want to talk with you online. Maybe you just prayed for the first time, Jesus is who he says he is. We want to talk with you. If you just want to send us a Facebook message or email us at hello@thevine.tv or shoot us a text at 864-580-6698, we want to celebrate you stepping through the dead ends, but maybe you can remember a time that you laid it all down to Jesus and trusted him as your Lord. And right now, you just don't feel like it. You feel like you are at a dead end. Don't let today go by. Jesus didn't make you to walk in your dead ends. He made you to walk in life. He made you to walk in life. So if that's you, don't let today end without talking to somebody. Dear Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity where we can celebrate the life that you have given us. We don't have to wait for our future joy. We get to experience it now in the present. So I'm begging you, in the moment of this song, Jesus, that you would invade our present situation and that you would let us experience the joy of our future hope now. Because the whole reason you came was for that. Not for us to be sullen, not for us to wait until we pass on this earth to experience you. We get to experience you now. So I am begging you, Jesus, let us worship like we've experienced you today. We love you, Lord, and it's your name we pray. Amen.